All right, we have been studying over the last past weeks on a sermon series that I have entitled Blessing God's Hearts.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
I like to bring the Word of God to us as we have worshiped the Lord, and I feel like the Lord wants us to hear this Word this morning. So would you pray together with me? Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the Word that we are about to hear. And I'm asking God that you would just open up our ears that we would be able to understand your Word. And that's just it, Lord. Without that understanding, we don't get it. So we need you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen, amen. All right, we have been studying over the last past weeks on a sermon series that I have entitled Blessing God's Hearts. Okay? So, how many of you have been here for the first two? This is part three. All right, we have several of you. If you have not, go back and try to listen to those online. But blessing God's heart, how important this is. As we start out Psalm 103 on some of our texts that we've been talking about. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and some of what is within me. Right? What? Did I get that wrong, Pastor Joseph? Yeah? That all that is within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases, which we just talked about. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things like spicy chicken sandwiches. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I threw that in there for Pastor Joseph because that's what he eats, is spicy chicken sandwiches. And took him to KFC the other day and he ate his spicy chicken sandwich and he said, ah, I'm being renewed right now. Bless the Lord. We're talking about blessing the Lord's heart. Over there in Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very strong. You are clothed with honor and majesty. I love that. And if you read on through there, you're going to see what God has done in Psalm 104. But we have been talking about blessing God's heart. How many of you desire to bless God's heart? Now, some people say, why do I need to bless God's heart? I mean, He's God. Why do I need to bless His heart? Blessing His heart means that we are giving Him that which He loves and desires. This week was my birthday, and I was extremely blessed this week with things that I desired, and there was not a one of you that gave me an all expense paid to the mall.
I didn't go to the mall.
Okay? And I'm thankful for that, okay? Because that would not have been a blessing to me to go to the mall and shop all day, right? That would not have been a blessing.
No.
But my siblings, my brothers, and my sister gave me some great gifts. My wife gave me some great gifts. I just told her that morning she was the best gift of all to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Yes. Yes. All right. I started out this sermon really good, didn't I, baby? Okay. But we've been talking about giving God what He desires what he loves. And the Bible tells us what God loves and what pleases him. So if I know that, I want to be able to do that. So the last few weeks we talked about what pleased his heart, and that was glorifying him, humbling yourself before him, repenting of those things that are against his will. Last week we talked about obeying him and how important that is to obey him. And we talked about a guy by the name of King Saul. So if you missed that one last week, you definitely want to go back and pick that one up and listen to that. And then believing what God says. Those are gifts to him. He loves that when we do that. Today, probably going to finish off this series here, unless the Lord gives me some more on this. But this week, today, I want to talk about what blesses God's heart, and I'm going to talk about what blesses God's heart is to love and to get to know him. He loves that more than anything, to love him and to get to know him. So, talking about getting to know someone, I had somebody this week ask me a very intimate question, and they said to me, "What color are your eyes?" Now, I knew with this individual, he usually sits in the very back of the church. He's got a blue shirt on right now, but we won't mention who he is. Okay? Here, I thought he was wanting to get to know me, you know. He's like, "You know what? What color are your eyes?" And I thought, I said, well, they're brown. Because, you know, some people are color deficient, like me, you know. And he goes, "Oh, well, I just wasn't sure because, you know, in church, when you're praying, you have your eyes closed and I can't see them. And when you're preaching, my eyes are closed." So. Now, somebody needs to pray for that man in the back row. Okay? But what blesses God's heart is that we get to know him, okay? And not like John, okay? I'll try to get through three things here today, John. Don't distract me back there, okay? All right. So get to know God and to love him. Share what you have with others, blesses God's heart, and to live abundant lives. I want to talk about those three things today, okay? Number one, loving him and getting to know him blesses God's heart. I want you to turn over with me. There is a little book in the Old Testament, and that is the book of Hosea. And so I'd like you to turn with me to that book of Hosea. And I will get there as soon as my pages quit sticking together. Hosea. Is where we're going to start out. Chapter 6, verse 3. This prophet speaking to the people of Israel, he says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Key verse. "His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto you? O Judah, what shall I do unto you? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goes forth. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that works iniquity and is polluted with blood. As the troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Now, the key verses that I want to jump in on here would be verses 3, with which God in this, sometimes this is a little confusing, but he says, if we follow on to know the Lord. I want you to understand something. There are a lot of folks today that believe that there is no way that you can get to know this God that created the heaven and the earth. I mean, he's just too big. Some people refer to him, which I never have and never will, as the man upstairs or the big guy upstairs. That is very degrading to who God is. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But yet, he still says, I want to get to know you. And I want you to get to know me. And so, if it was not possible, he would not have said this to the people of Israel and us reading this today, that he wants to know us. Now look at verse 6. He says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. And I desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. In other words, I wanted you to know me. Some people just want to give things to God and say, well, if I give my money, if I give my time, then God will be happy. Okay? Other religions operate on that if I do for this God, if I give, and I do this, and I sacrifice all these things, God will be happy with me. But what God says is that what makes me more happy is that I know you, and that you know me, and that you know my heart, and that you have a relationship together with me. That is what I want. But he says, within my house, and this is the sad part about it, he says, within my house, my priests, now this is the priests of God, supposedly, what have they done? What have these priests done? They have gone in the way of committing lewdness. And he said, there's a horrible thing in my house that is happening. He says that there are whoredoms that are going on. Now, that's not a word that most of us like to hear, right? Whoredoms mean that there are cheating on God, that many of the people that are within our world today, they don't know God. They may have a little bit of knowledge of Him, but they don't know Him. You see, getting to know God, He wants to speak with you. He wants you to speak with Him. And he wants to answer, and that's why he sent the Holy Spirit to us, church. Amen? Amen? So that he can talk to us and that we can walk. Did you know that that was God's original desire for creating man? To have fellowship with him. Some people say, well, I'm just afraid of God. There's no need to be afraid of God. He wants to have a relationship together with you. Back in the beginning of Genesis, did you know that when God created Adam and Eve, that every night he came to them in the garden and he walked with them? And he fellowshiped together with him. That's why it hurt his heart when they sinned and they went against his heart and they ate of the fruit that was forbidden of them to eat. And then they were afraid. And he came back to the garden that night and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I'm hiding. Can you imagine how that hurt God's heart? After walking and talking with them. How many of us have had relationships where we've been close to someone and then all of a sudden something happens and there's a split between you? How do you feel? You hurt. We hurt. And that's how God hurts, and that's why he is saying to us, I want you to know me intimately. I want you to know my heart. The Apostle Paul had the exact same thing that was on his heart. And would you turn over to the New Testament now in the book of Philippians? And Paul shared what his heart was. And he knew that God wanted to talk with him. How many of you remember the old hymn, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own," right? "And the joy we share as you tarry there, none other has ever known." Excuse my singing, but the words are what I'm trying to get to. He walks with me and talks with me. And this is the Apostle Paul when he is speaking to the Philippian church here in chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ," knowing him, right? "Whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but I count them but dung, that I may win Christ," or know Christ, "and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God of faith," by faith. Here's the verse, "that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death." What was Paul saying, Pastor Joseph? I want to know him. I want to intimately know him. Now, if I want to intimately know the Indian man, I have to do what? I got to buy him a chicken sandwich. A spicy chicken sandwich. And then while he's eating that, I can ask him questions. And I can know him. So I know some things this week that I did not know before. Like he's a wild man on a motorcycle, right? Kidding. But he loves to have fun. He's a character. We call it a character in America. But I've done that because we spent time with him, and God says, you can know him. You can know him. And that blesses his heart more than anything that you can do. Anything that you'll sit down and you'll say, "God, I want to know you. I want to know all about you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to clean my heart. I want you to let me know who you are." And that's okay, and that's what we should be doing, blessing God's heart. Paul said, "I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings," what that all meant to him. Have you ever sat down and had a conversation with Jesus and said, "How did that feel going to the cross?" He'll actually talk to you. He'll let you know. And why he did it. God is approachable because of Jesus. We can come boldly before the throne of grace that we might be able to find the answers and find the things and relationship together with God. Number two, it blesses God's heart when we share our love and share our stuff with other people. Okay? And I want to talk about this. Hebrews chapter 13. Jump over a couple books in the book of Hebrews. We know that this pleases God's heart because it's very clear here in this scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate," which means to share with others, "do not forget to do that, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." How many of you want to please God? Some people raise their hand and say, "I want to please God, but what's mine is mine. And I'm not giving it to somebody else." Mm-mm. What do we know by the scripture? To communicate and share with others is well-pleasing to God. So if you see someone in need, and you walk about them and say, well, God bless you, I'll pray for you. And you have the wherewithal to give and to help, that is not pleasing God. Just because you feel good about, well, I'm going to be spiritual and I'll pray for you. It isn't. God is going, oh, man, that hurts. Because to share is to please God. There's other scriptures that I'm not going to bring out, but it talks about that when we give and we help those that are in need, we're actually doing it unto God. And it's for Him. But to shut up our bowels of compassion and say, it's all about me, that's not pleasing to God. Oh, well, you know what, Pastor? I give during Christmas time. But the rest of the year, it's about moi. Let me see. So you think God is saying, oh, that's great. That's great. You bought a pair of underwear for a kid out there on that list. Or you bought them some socks. Great. God is looking for those that are willing to share of everything that He has entrusted to them. Their homes, their food, their finances, their time. God has called us to be people that will be willing to share. We see it right here in this scripture. I don't even have to read another scripture. Some people say, yeah, but that's just one scripture. It's God's word. And He is very clear about that. I'm not going to read it right now because it's a little bit long, but Isaiah 58 talks about that too, in that God says, you say, oh, well, I fast and I give sacrifices and whatever. And God says, no, 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 no. That does not please me. What pleases me is that you give and you share with others. That pleases the heart of God. Because let's just face the music here. When you are not doing that, it's called being selfish. And that grieves God's heart when you are a selfish person. When everything is about you and about what you have and about mine, 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 and mine. That is called selfishness. And let's look at the opposite of this scripture. If that scripture says that it's well-pleasing to God for you to communicate, to share, what is it when you're selfish? It's burdensome to God. Now, just for fun, I looked this up online. Anybody ever Google stuff?
Too much.
I don't know. We're Google-happy people, right? Hey, Google. Oh, I better make sure my phone's off. Yeah. Good. It didn't catch that. All right. But I ask, you know, what happens is the Apostle Paul talks about this, about, you know, when we're not serving God, we're not keeping His word, we are actually miserable people. We're miserable people. And so just for fun, I looked up what is a miserable person. So there was all kinds of things. 11 signs of being a miserable person and different things. But I picked this out. Here's some signs of a miserable person. Here's what the internet said. They're always complaining. They are pessimists. Everything's always bad. Nothing good. They're angry at little things all the time. They're hopeless. They have no hope. And they're full of fear. That is not the definition of what the people of God should be. We should be the opposite of that, right? Instead of always complaining, you should always be giving what? Thanks for what God has given to you. Thankful for your family. Some people say, I'm not thankful for my family. I don't like them. It doesn't matter whether you like them, right? Be thankful. Because some of us immediately say, well, I don't like them. I mean, you're thinking about a brother or sister. You're thinking about an aunt or uncle, and you're saying, I don't like them. I'm not thankful for them. But the Bible is very clear that He has blessed us with all things. So instead of looking at the glass being half empty, you're going to look at that glass being half full. Look at what God's done. Say, wow, you know, thank you, Lord, for that. Instead of being hopeless, we always have a hope for the people of God. We spoke about pastor's daughter. We always have a hope that God is going to do something. Because that's who He is. And instead of being a fearful people about afraid of everything, and I hope that you're not those individuals that are constantly saying, well, I'm afraid that this might happen, and I'm afraid that that might happen. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Oh, I don't know. You know, some people worry about things so far in advance that they're so miserable they can't even live. Well, you know, I'm afraid that in 5 years I might not be able to do this. What are you worried about 5 years from now? Today is the day that God gave you to live. Live today. I had somebody call me the other day and say, you know, you are really getting old. Seriously. Now, and I thought to myself, they called me close to my birthday, you know. So I just, man, you're getting old. You're really getting old. Now you have two ways to look at that, right? You can either look at that and say, wow, yeah, I guess I am. Oh man, what's going to go next? You know? Well, you know, they say that at this age, that starts to happen. And they say this is going to, oh man, they, next thing you know, you're all crippled up and you can't do anything. Because they say, I want to know who they is. I want to know, what does God say? Remember, coming back to my relationship with God, what does He say? Okay? And it blesses God's heart when we look at Him and we trust Him. And we say, this is what God says. Okay? You may have things happen in your body, but if you're constantly being a pessimist and saying, well, what's going to happen next? Something will happen next. Seriously, it will. See, I thought it would. Come on now, stop doing that. Live today because today God gave you a life to live. And do what you can do today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, don't tell me I can't do something just because I'm old, right? Yeah? God is God, and He always will be God. And if I feel like dancing and shouting, I'm going to. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, get back on the subject here, Pastor. Okay. Number three. And this is the final one. It blesses God when we live abundant lives. Now, you hear me talk about this and have, if you've been anywhere around me for years, John chapter 10. And I want you to jump over there. You've heard me say this. Talk about this often. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Everyone that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. We talked about that earlier. It's only through him, and shall go in and out and find pasture, good pasture. The thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, or they might have life, and they might have it what? More abundantly. That is a great word. The abundant life that God has for us. In the Greek, really what this means, the abundant life means to have life beyond measure, have life than you could even expect or anticipate. I want young people to understand this. You guys, in Christ, there is life. And it doesn't have to be ho-hum. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going to struggle the rest of my life. Okay? But in Christ, you can look forward to a life of abundance beyond what you can even think of. How many of you, God has surprised you? Come on now. Yes? Amen. Philip, I can't see you. All right, thank you. You better be raising your hand back there, all right? Because God surprised you both. Amen. Abundant life that God wants to give us. It is so important that we understand that, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I'm just going to throw a few scriptures out. Rick will put them on the board here. But as it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard those things which God has prepared for those that love Him. What do you think? That God is just going to beat you down with all bad things? That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is that He wants you to have a relationship with Him, right? He wants you to share with others, and He wants you to understand that there is an abundant life in Him. Even if you're being persecuted, there is still abundant life in Him. It goes beyond what you can imagine or think. Now, what things does God have prepared for you? Your eye cannot even see it. Your ear has not heard it. How many of you know that even beyond this life, there are some great things that you have not heard or seen? Did you know there will be colors? Is anybody in here color deficient? Like, you know, Rhonda's wearing red right now, right? She had a look. Is it orange? Okay, I'm a little color deficient. Brandon, what are you wearing? I think you're wearing black, right? Now, for those of you that don't understand this, several years ago, the doctor said to me, you know, what's this color? And I told her, the eye doctor, and she said, what's this color? And I told her, and she said, I think we have a problem here. I said, well, no wonder my wife used to tell me, you ain't wearing that together. Yeah. Okay? So what you see is my wife, okay? And what she puts on me, because the colors that I might match, you might not like so well. So, but your eye has not seen what God has prepared for you. Even though you might be able to see colors, okay? One day, when I'm in the presence of God, I am going to see colors the way that God, and things that I've not seen before. And I still see colors, okay? I can see some things, right? Like, Larry, you're wearing some blue, right? Is that blue?
Yeah.
All right, good. I got that one. All right. Good. All right, good. I got it. So, and by the way, I can see green traffic lights and red ones too. Okay. Yeah, so. But eye has not seen or ear heard what God has prepared for those that love Him. Okay? There is an abundance. And when we live in that, it is so important to God when we understand the abundance that He has for us and live there. Okay? Don't live your life as a Christian like a pauper. Like a poor Christian. Because in Christ, there is abundance of life. You know, Larry mentioned earlier, he's so thankful for this church. But I want life to be in this church. I want this church to be about life. Not about death. I want it to be about abundance. And not about feeling like that we're just poor little Christians going through life. It is about the abundance that Christ gives to us. Last verse that I want to share is in 3 John. Many of you have heard this before. Beloved, the Apostle John was writing in verse 10 to this church that was in Gaius's home. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and that you would be in health. He says, that's my desire. That's the abundancy of the believer's life. Now, I know many people have taken this message and made it all about, God wants you to be rich in this world's goods. He wants you to have the Cadillacs. He wants you to have the Mercedes-Benz. He wants you to have all this because that's what Jesus came to do, to make you and give you an abundant, rich life. That is not what Jesus came for. He came to give you life in here and abundance in here. And it makes no difference whether you're driving a Lexus or whether you're driving a Chevy. Or whether you are driving a Toyota or a GMC or a whatever it is that you drive. Even a Ford. Right, Rick?
That was weird.
I don't want to leave anybody out. Or a Jeep. There you go. I remembered you, John. Okay. Or an Audi. Aaron, Pastor Aaron, Elisa, if you're watching. It makes no difference because that's not what abundant life is. Abundant life is here. How I live life. And God wants us to enjoy the life that we live. Stop your whining. Stop your complaining about what you don't have. Thank God for what you do have and live in the abundance that God has given us. Because that blesses God's heart. He loves it. When we're so thankful, I get this picture of Christmas time and kids opening up their gifts and what are they doing? They're yelling and they're screaming and they're running and they're carrying on and they're just so happy. That's what God wants us to be. Love the life that He's given to us. And enjoy the life. You know, I've had people say to me over the years, I come in and I meet them and their family or whatever, and I'm enjoying life and I'm talking with them, and I hear someone on the side say, well, he doesn't act like a pastor. Well, he's just having too much fun. I mean, what's a pastor supposed to look like? Come on now. And his kids are supposed to be what? Oh, thank you, Lord, for my abundant life. Seriously? Come on, God has a good life for us. And He wants us to enjoy that. That blesses His heart to see us enjoying life. And loving life. Okay? That blesses His heart. So let's bless God's heart. That's what it means. I hope you've gotten a better understanding of blessing the heart of God. Because He loves it. He loves that. And the more He loves that, the better our relationship gets. And some of you say, well, then I'm free then. I can just enjoy it. Yes, you can. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your relationship with God. And again, like I spoke of last week, you don't have to worry about getting too close to God. Because if you get too close to God and you become too much like Him, He's going to take you out of this world like He did with Enoch and say, Enoch walked with God and then he was not. For God took him. Father, thank you so much for the word today. Thank you so much for what you have shared with us of what is important to you and what blesses your heart. And I pray, Father, that we all would continue to bless your heart the rest of our lives here on this earth until we meet you in heaven. Lord, thank you. And again, thanks for hearing us today. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.